Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Friday, November 3rd, week 9 already underway. We're going to dive into the remaining games on the slate to get you set up here. This week is pretty crazy with all the moving pieces, not only with four teams on bye, but all of these quarterback situations, plus a few other injury updates that I got to get into. Let's start with the game in Germany, Miami, Kansas City. I have Kansas City 26.4 to 24.4. And we're kind of start them if you got them. I mean, there isn't much analysis that I can give you that will cause you to start Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or even Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, Isaiah Pacheco. The one thing I did want to point out, however, is Rashee Rice last week did lead the way in terms of route participation among the Kansas City wide receivers, and he's in a pretty good spot. I mentioned it is a matchup upgrade for DFS purposes yesterday on the show. I'm not going as far as, you know, start him in every lineup. Not there. But I do have him at wide receiver 39 right now, so he's a fringe wide receiver 3 or a flex play this week. Let's move on to the next game, Minnesota-Atlanta. There are several question marks heading into this game. So here's what we know on the Minnesota side. Kirk Cousins out for the season, and the team did trade for Josh Dobbs. We found out he's going to be active, but as the backup to rookie Jaren Hall, fifth rounder out of BYU. I'm ranking him at quarterback 24 because quarterback is really a mess once you get outside of the top 20 this week. So I think he could potentially do worse than Jaren Hall. The last time the Minnesota Vikings won a game without Kirk Cousins was the Minneapolis Miracle. That was January of 2018. So we got to go way back. Jaren Hall hurts Jordan Addison, hurts KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne isn't even usable. Addison could be a possible flex play. I don't think he does anything negatively, though, to T.J. Hockenson. If anything, I would expect a lot of T.J. Hockenson in this game, so I still have him up as tight end 3, so I'm not worried there. Alexander Mattison also backsliding here. RB30, the matchup isn't good as well. Atlanta's defended the run quite well this season. So on the other side, we also have a back-end QB2 starting here in Taylor Heinicke. He is viable in Superflex. I am going to be using him in a Superflex where, get this, my starting quarterbacks last week were Kirk Cousins and Desmond Ridder. So, yay! But quarterback 21, the problem, he will not have Drake London. I had speculated on this earlier in the week. I said, watch out for it. Well, here we go. He is officially out for this contest, so no Drake London. There is no replacement here at wide receiver. It's not like, yeah, get all the Van Jefferson, baby. No, I just think it's Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith. I originally had Kyle Pitts at tight end 13. He's going to move up a tick. He may end up being like tight end 10. Still volatile, but I figure all the targets are going to go his way and Jonnu Smith's way. And of course, Bijan Robinson, who we're starting no matter what, as far as I'm concerned, just because his ceiling is so enormous. I have him at RB8. Not the best matchup. Minnesota defends the run pretty well. Moving on, and I had this game, Atlanta 20.5 to 14.3. Low scoring. Another low scoring game. Arizona at Cleveland. Cleveland 19.2 to 15.6. Okay. Jonathan Gannon has yet to declare a starter. We heard earlier in the week that it could be Clayton Tune, but now apparently he's going to decide on the flight to the game, as one would do, of course. So is it Kyler? Is it Clayton Tune? Stay tuned, because we really don't know. And I mean, Kyler will be top 15 for me, very likely. I can't guarantee exactly where he falls after I run the simulations in my projection model, but he's going to be up there. So we just have to kind of wait and see. As far as Amari DiMercato is concerned, I don't have an update yet. He went DNP on Wednesday and Thursday, so they could be very shorthanded here. I still think Trey McBride is fine as a streamer option, But otherwise, maybe Marquise Brown, and that's it for this side of the matchup. On the other side, I guess good news, Deshaun Watson is starting. So no more P.J. Walker. That should help Amari Cooper, though on the season he's under 52% in terms of his catch rate. It is the lowest among players with at least 50 targets. So it is tough to use him even with Watson out there as anything more than a wide receiver three. The backfield is going to be a bit of a mess. This is a great matchup, but I expect to see a three-man committee in this backfield with Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, and Pierre Strong seeing very similar workloads. Ford is the best play, but he's not a great play. He's at RB24, then Kareem Hunt at RB28. Don't really want to have to rely on those guys if I can get away with it, but you may not be able to get away with it. I'm in a league where I do actually have to start Ford this week. Rams, Green Bay Packers. I have Green Bay 21.1 to 18.1. And another game that will be impacted by an injured quarterback situation. Matthew Stafford currently listed as questionable. Adam Schefter said the Rams are going to, quote, wait as long as they can before deciding whether he will play in week 9. My guess and everything that we've seen all week long would suggest he's not going to play. As far as the Thursday or Friday practice report, I don't have one yet, but he did go DNP. His team also tried to sign a quarterback earlier in the week. That's a telltale sign right there. I would not expect to have Stafford on the field, of course. If it is the backup, that's Brett Rippon, and that's not good for Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua. Kupp will still be a back-end wide receiver one. He's just too darn good, even with a bad quarterback. But Nacua becomes much more difficult to start as anything more than the wide receiver three. Darrell Henderson, Royce Freeman, both flex plays, both in favorable matchup. I mean, it's a good matchup here against the Green Bay defense. The Green Bay offense, yikes. Jordan Love got off to a good start first 2 weeks of the season. Since then, not good. He has 5 passing scores and 8 interceptions over his last 5 games. But with so many injured quarterbacks, with 4 teams on bye, he's a front-end quarterback to play this week. I will, it hurts to even say this, have to use him in a one-quarterback league this week. Oh, boy. Not good. Not good. Aaron Jones, also struggling here. 30.8 rushing yards per game. He averaged 65.9. He's never been like a massive yardage guy on the ground, but it just shows you everything is not really working for the Green Bay Packers. I'm still going to use him as an RB2 reluctantly this week. A.J. Dillon is a flex play. I mean, it is a tough matchup on the other side. The Rams have done a nice job against the run. And, I mean, do we have that much confidence? But they're so – all the moving pieces this week due to all the injuries and the bye weeks kind of forces our hand here. Washington, New England. New England 21.0 to 18.9. Sam Howell. Any week could be amazing. Any week. He's like the Gabe Davis, except maybe he puts up more consistent, bigger weeks, but the Gabe Davis of quarterbacks. 400 passing yards almost last week, 4 passing scores. It was a career day. And in theory, he should be a top 10 play. However, if you start him, just be well aware that any given week could be top 10, could be like the worst quarterback play of the week, any given week. However, he has helped move Terry McLaurin back into wide receiver 2 territory. And I don't know if Curtis Samuel plays in this one. I don't actually see a practice report yet for Washington today, but he hasn't practiced yet this week, which would mean Jahan Dotson would be flex-worthy this week. Brian Robinson back in RB2. On the other side, okay, football is just cruel. Kendrick Bourne out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL. So DeMario Douglas will be in wide receiver 3 territory. He's also $4,000 on DK this week, so dirt cheap. Very strong play. For season long, he's a wide receiver 3 option, and I'm not 100% convinced that he's the guy, but he's the best bet right now. Ramondre Stevenson remains in RB2 territory because his workload in the passing game has seen a bit of an uptick here recently. 13 receptions over his last 3 games. It's not too bad. Chicago, New Orleans. I have New Orleans 24.0 to 16.4. Yet another game that is impacted by quarterback injury. Justin Fields not back yet. This is his third straight missed game, so Tyson Bagent will get another start. Tyson Bagent has been a dink and dunk artist. 4.7 air yards per attempt. That is ridiculously low. In fact, since this stat was first tracked, that's 2006 was the first year that we have air yards as a tracked stat. Only one quarterback has a lower air yards per throw over his first two professional games, and that's Mason Rudolph. So, esteemed company there for Tyson Bagent. This puts a cap on DJ Moore. He's still a wide receiver too, but if you're not pushing the ball vertically, that takes some of the wind out of DJ Moore's sails. If I have to use a running back, it is Deontay Foreman. I don't love it, though. And by the way, Cole Kmet will benefit from the dink and dunk he did last week. On the other side, I want to start as much as I can. Derek Carr, quarterback 12. Alvin Kamara, the de facto number one running back for the week. Olave, Michael Thomas, both in as wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, respectively. Taysom Hill, a top 10 option. Even Rashid Shaheed in this matchup is a flex-worthy option. The only challenge with Shaheed, the volume won't necessarily be there. And if it is a close game, I mean, that will be beneficial to him, but I don't see it being very close. So if the game script gets out of hand, I don't see Derek Carr taking a lot of deep shots, and that's where Shaheed's going to, you know, make his money for fantasy purposes. Seattle-Baltimore at Baltimore 24.2 to 20.2. Geno Smith, a model of consistency. Since the start of last season, he has 15 games with 2+ passing touchdowns. Now, usually it is 2 that he hits, but this is a really tough matchup. The Ravens allowed the fewest fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, 210 net passing yards, 0.8 passing score surrender per game. That puts a damper on DK Metcalf, on Tyler Lockett. I talked a little bit about that yesterday. Kenneth Walker as well, like, he's off the injury report, which is great, but I still only have him at RB15. I do expect to see a little bit of Charbonnet. Not enough to use him, but it is a tough matchup. On the other side, Love and Lamar, Love and Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews already has 6 touchdowns, by the way. He only had 5 last year. I'm loving Zay Flowers, but how about this? The rookie has been very impressive. Wide receiver 15. He has yet to have a 100-yard game, and he only has 1 receiving touchdown. Now, that isn't a knock on Zay Flowers. It's more of a statement of, I don't think we have even remotely approached his ceiling at this point. Gus Edwards upgraded, so he started the week DNP. He got limited work in yesterday, and ultimately I think he'll be fine. No, actually, you know what? He got full in, so he'll be fine here. He's a back-end RB2 play. Tampa and Houston. Houston 21.7 to 19.2. Baker Mayfield loves himself some Mike Evans. Evans has 507 receiving yards. That's the most through 7 games he's had since 2019. So a little bit of a fountain of youth for him here. With so many moving pieces at quarterback, that's the theme of today. Mike Evans is a back end wide receiver 1. I have him at 11. And Chris Godwin is a rock solid wide receiver 2. I have him at 19. Heck, even Rashad White, he's up at RB14. He is not getting it done on the ground, and I don't care. He has 29 receptions on the season. He's averaging over 4 per game. That keeps him in RB2 territory every single week. On the other side, we already got news. Fortunately, I got this before I hit record, that Damian Pierce will not play in this game. He's already declared out with an ankle issue. So, opportunity knocks for Motor Singletary. What does that mean? Really, probably back in RB2 territory. I haven't run the numbers since this news came out shortly before I hit record here. But I would assume, yeah, back in RB2 territory. It is not a good matchup. The Tampa run defense is quite good. Meanwhile, the Tampa pass defense is a bit of a pass funnel. They're a number 9 matchup for wide receivers. So good news for Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Collins is wide receiver 17, Tank Dell wide receiver 30. And CJ Stroud is a top 10 play. I think he could also get away with Dalton Schultz as a top 10 play at tight end this week as well. Indianapolis, Carolina. On the Indy side, and I have Indy winning 22.4 to 19.9 in the Frank Reich revenge game. Indy side of things. Carolina does not defend the run well. They're one of just two teams to allow over 5 yards per carry to opposing backfields. The other one is Denver, by the way. So that's great news for Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss. I have met 10 and 20, respectively, among running backs. So with Taylor, he had an amazing first half last week, but then they didn't go to him in the second half. And Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Colts, said it was really kind of game script dependent. I hope that's not going to be the case here. I really like Jonathan Taylor. Top 10 play for me. Like I said, he's at 10. But you could also get away with Moss as an RB2 option and possibly even in the same lineup. It's just such a good matchup. I like the spot for Gardner Minshew. He's top 12 this week at quarterback 11. Josh Downs, there was a little bit of concern about Josh Downs yesterday because he popped up limited. But he did practice today, so I would expect him to play. On the other side, it's a great matchup for the run game as well. Chuba Hubbard is the starter, according to Panthers head coach Frank Reich. So, yeah, your Miles Sanders shares are pretty much evaporating in terms of their value right now. Chuba Hubbard, RB16 in this very favorable matchup. And, of course, Adam Thielen is rolling. I still think he's a sell high. So he's on pace for 138 receptions at 33 years old in his 10th year in the league. I'm not knocking this dude, but older players tend to slow down as the season wears on. So I wouldn't hesitate to sell high on him if you can. However, if I have him this week, I am playing him as a top 10 option, and I'm playing him a lot in DFS. He's wide receiver 7. Giants, Raiders. Raiders 19.7 to 15.4. What a mess of a game this is. There's really not much to like on the Giants side with the exception of Saquon Barkley, and I love Saquon Barkley. It's a great matchup. He has been as advertised. He's been Saquon Barkley. He had 39 freaking touches last week. 39. So he's fine. Otherwise, I guess Daniel Jones and Superflex, but yikes. Darren Waller not playing. He'll be out with the hammy. And regarding Waller, by the way, if you're in a situation where you have been using Waller, you need a tight end, and you don't have anybody to drop, you know who your drop is? Darren Waller. I hate to say it, but I mean, hey, it's week 9. It's not like if it was week 2, I'd say, maybe you figure it out. It's week 9. And this dude said, essentially, the way what he implied was the injury was more than a one-week absence. So, are we really giving our league that much? It's not like we're dropping Travis Kelce here, or Mark Andrews, or Sam LaPorta, or something like that. I don't think it's that big of a deal if you moved on from him. And you could always end up getting him back. Possibly after the fact. On the other side, well, Josh McDaniels is out. That is over. We've talked about that a few times this week. And Jimmy Garoppolo is out, benched for Aiden O'Connell. Now, what do we know about the rookie? I mean, he was a day 3 pick, and a day 3 pick for a reason. I know. You can throw Brock Purdy at me all you want. But chances of day 3 guys emerging as long-term starters for any franchise is pretty rare. So I view him more as a backup type. Yes, he'll throw the ball around the yard a little bit. He targeted Davante Adams 13 times in his previous start this season. He is a top 24 option this week, but dynasty-wise, my optimism is relatively low. I do think the Raiders not only are going to be in the market for a new coach and general manager, but also for a new quarterback. And I don't know if that comes via the draft or via trade / free agency signing, because there may be some free agents available. I just don't think you're going to nail a franchise quarterback unless you're somehow trading for one or you're drafting one. So anyway, I don't think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell, though I do think it's not that bad for Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers here. Moving on, Dallas, Philly, 24.9 to 22.5. Projections have Philly winning. This one is going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun when these two teams face off against each other. The Philly pass defense is allowing the third most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So another great spot for Dak Prescott. Great spot for CeeDee Lamb. Great spot for Jake Ferguson, even, in a potentially high-scoring game. It is not a great spot for Tony Pollard. He's averaging 3.9 yards per carry. He was at 5.2 last year. The Eagles are the worst fantasy matchup for running backs. However, I still have to start him. I have him at RB9. Unless I'm absolutely insanely loaded at running back, chances are you're going to start. I'm starting him in a couple leagues. I mean, chances are you probably have to start him. On the other side, pretty much straightforward, right? Hurts, Brown, Swift, Goddard. Yes, 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 yes. Devontae Smith. Yes, but only as a wide receiver 3. Here's fantasy finishes so far this season. Starting in week 1, 16, 10, 67, 24, that's okay. 98, 40, 44, and 10. That is that roller coaster ride, that sort of Gabe Davis profile that I've talked about many times before. And really, it's just a way of saying, if you start him, just be aware that it could be one or the other, but it's rarely going to be in between. Could be great, could be terrible, rarely going to be just kind of like, that was okay. Buffalo, Cincinnati, another great game here on this slate, 25.9 to 24.1. Start everybody, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not Tyler Boyd, but even I have Tyler Boyd as a flex option. So Allen, Diggs, Cook. Cook is RB19. Let me talk about him in a moment. Gabe Davis, wide receiver 34. Kincaid, tight end 5. Burrow, quarterback 5. Chase, wide receiver 2. Joe Mixon, RB7. T. Higgins, even wide receiver 16. Let me talk about James Cook, though. As of right now, I have not seen anything about Leonard Fournette being elevated to the active roster. In other words, Leonard Fournette is on the practice squad. If he isn't elevated, then whatever, right? However, if he is, here is my suspicion as to why they signed him. It has nothing to do with James Cook. James Cook has been a between the 20s running back who's been pretty good this season. He just doesn't have a lot of fantasy upside because he doesn't get the potential for touchdowns. However, Damian Harris on injured reserve, Latavius Murray pretty lackluster. I think that's the void they're trying to ultimately fill, both of those guys. And so Fournette, when he eventually comes in, will have that short yardage work. And yes, he can contribute a little bit in passing situations. We know he's done that over the course of his career. But it's not really like James Cook's value is going to change that much for me. At least that's my perception of it. Be aware of that, though, if you picked up Fournette. I think a lot of people just assumed he was going to play. That's not a guarantee. Chargers, Jets. I have the Chargers 22.5 to 18.8. On the Jets side, this is a great matchup for Zach Wilson. He gets the number one fantasy matchup. The Chargers allowing 320.7 net passing yards allowed per game. When I say net, all I'm doing is scrubbing out any sack yardage, because that technically would count against, if you're looking at league statistics, would count against the passing yardage numbers. That is not the case when we're looking at things for fantasy purposes, so that's why I always default to net passing yards. So Zach Wilson is startable in two quarterback super flex leagues this week at quarterback 22. However, he's doing enough for Garrett Wilson to remain a back end wide receiver 1. He's at 12. Breece Hall is flipping awesome, so he's at RB5. On the other side, we are starting Herbert and Eckler and Allen just like usual. Joshua Palmer, I don't have Friday's practice report yet, but he did not practice on Thursday. Even if he does play, I don't think I'm going to use... Well, I'm not going to use him as anything more than a flex. I know that. I may not use him at all, because that perimeter for the Jets, you know, when you're talking Sauce and DJ Reed, that's a really good perimeter. So tough to rely on him and Quentin Johnston for that matter. And, you know, if Palmer didn't go, I wouldn't be overly bullish on Johnston, though he might crack back end wide receiver 3 territory. Hopefully we get an indication of that either tomorrow or early on Sunday. Gerald Everett looks like he is going to be back in the mix. So your Donald Parham stream, that is over. And those two kind of cannibalize off of each other, which does suck for fantasy purposes. All right, there it is. The week is set up for us. Week 9, a pivotal one. Over at FTNFantasy.com, I'll be updating rankings throughout the course of the weekend. We'll have you set up bright and early update at 5:30 a.m. on Sundays, because we have a bright and early game at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning, that Germany game. So just make sure you set yourself a reminder there just in case. Plus, it's going to be a fun game to watch. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for my biggest takeaways from week 9. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.